Amen. I sure appreciate that special. I love that song. Hard to imagine he did that for me, even me. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 this evening. Last Sunday night, we took a little break in our study of the Gospels, and we're going to do that again tonight. I'm thankful to be part of this church, and I'm thankful that our church is interested in revival. Last Sunday night, we went to the Old Testament and saw a formula for revival. 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. And we understand that God wants us to walk in closeness with Him. God wants us to have a close fellowship with Him. He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit day by day. And so the only thing standing in our way of revival really is ourselves. We can blame our environment, we can blame culture, we can blame our upbringing, we can blame our spouse, we can blame our children, we can blame our parents, we can blame anybody else. We can blame shift just like they did in the garden when judgment came, but ultimately we are responsible for our own walk with the Lord. My Bible says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. If your heart's hard, that's your fault. If you aren't walking in the Spirit, it's your fault. And if I'm not revived, if I'm not filled with the Spirit, that's my fault. And so I'm thankful that we are seeking revival. I'm thankful that I'm part of a church that still wants to have revival meetings, that we haven't given up on those. But I want to tell you why most pastors have given up on revival meetings, because the people in the pews don't show up. And so I want to challenge you. I want to plead with you. We've had this on the calendar for a long time, and that you would clear your schedule, that you would make this a priority, that you would understand that revival, seeking revival, is more important than the things that will get in the way of it. And I can assure you that when revival week comes, everything will get in the way of it. You'll have the busiest week at work you've ever had in your life. You'll have more trouble. You'll stub your toe more often during that week than any other time of the year. That's just the way it works. But sometimes we want to blame the devil for all that. And I'm honestly not always sure that the things we blame on the devil is really the devil. Sometimes it may be ourselves, and many times it may be the Lord Himself. He wants us to prove that we're committed to Him. He wants us to dedicate ourselves to Him. He wants us to show up, not just when it's convenient, but when it's hard. Amen. And so I just want to challenge you. I know, I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. You guys are like Mary Poppins in here. Practically perfect in every way. But for those of you that aren't quite to the Mary Poppins level, like myself, let's look to Matthew chapter 6. I talked to you quite a bit about prayer last week and over the last couple of weeks, but I want to talk to you in a little more depth about fasting tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. Matthew 6, 16, moreover, when you fast, I want you to notice the Lord says, when ye fast, not if ye fast. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray you would help us to learn to pray. I pray, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to learn to fast biblically. Lord, help us to be serious about walking with you. Help us to be willing to give up anything or anyone that we might serve you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Please convict our hearts tonight and help me, for I'm nothing without you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to know in the scriptures there were times of private and public fast, times of concealed fast and corporate fast. There were times when a man or a woman would just on their own volition, their desire to be closer to God, a burden that was on their heart, a tragedy that had befallen them, whatever it was, they would privately, secretly fast. There were other times when fasting was corporate. We see it in the Old Testament many times when the people were called on to fast for a specific purpose. We've looked at that many times in Ezra chapter 8. The people were traveling across dangerous territory, and Ezra said, I'm ashamed to ask the king for help, so we're going to ask the king of heaven for help. And they declared a fast to afflict themselves, to show God they were serious. And so, but even in a corporate fast, we see in Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch ministered to the Lord. They fasted and they prayed. And they fasted and prayed and laid hands on the apostles and sent them out, the missionaries, and sent them out. And I'm just trying to tell you that even in the midst of a corporate fast or a public fast, that it's still to be done privately in your day-to-day life. For example, if, and as I'm going to challenge you to tonight, that on this coming week, you would set a time of fasting. I'm not going to tell you to fast for a certain number of hours or a certain number of days. I'm going to ask you to seek God's face and that you would determine in your own heart and mind, I'm not going to eat from this time to this time. And you dedicate that time to the Lord. And that during that time of fasting, you wouldn't turn on your computer, you wouldn't turn on your TV, you wouldn't be distracted by the things of this world, but you would take that time that you would use for other things and use it to feed yourself spiritually. That you'll give yourself to prayer and to the study of the Word of God. Maybe you'd only miss one meal, or maybe you'd miss two, or maybe you'd go a couple of days without eating, or maybe you'd go 3 or 4 days without eating. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord and where you're at with your practice of fasting, but that we would, this week, as we prepare our hearts for revival, that we would set a time to fast. But as I challenge the church to do that corporately, this is public, you've got to understand that you've got to do it privately at home. You got to do it privately at work. You've got to do it privately in the world. You don't go to work tomorrow and say, the pastor asked us to fast, and I haven't eaten since this morning at 10 o'clock. And I'm not going to eat again until 1 o'clock this afternoon. And brag about your fasting. You don't do it that way. What we want to do is fast privately. We want to not try to make it a show. I talked to different pastors about fasting, different men in different churches, just to kind of find out how they do it. It's not something I learned about a lot growing up. And if you try to study about fasting and read commentaries and different people, you'll get all kinds of whacked out ideas about fasting. But I want to tell you, it's very simply this. To fast, the word literally means to go without food. That's why when you get up in the morning and you eat breakfast, you break fast. You haven't eaten, I assume, during the night while you were sleeping, unless you got up and went to the refrigerator. But we break fast. It's to go without eating. And when we fast, we don't want to be like the hypocrites where they suck their cheeks in and they kind of shuffle their feet around to look pitiful so everyone will know that they've been fasting. No, we want to fast in secret. We want to pray in secret. We want to fast in secret. We want our dedication to the Lord to be that, a dedication to the Lord and not a show for other people. And when that happens, when we hide our fasting from men, by the way, you can't hide fasting from your spouse. And let me tell you just from experience, it's better if you just tell them up front. Honey, I'm going to be fasting today or tomorrow or whenever it is. That way, when you come home from work and she's fixed your favorite meal and you're in the middle of your fast and you go, I'm sorry, I can't eat that. Or better, you just say, well, she doesn't know anyway, so I might as well go ahead and eat. And then you break your commitment to the Lord. So it's better to let them know ahead of time. Set a time. We see in the book of Esther that there was a great danger to the people of Israel, and they set a fast before the Lord. They set a time that they would go without eating. Same thing we mentioned in Ezra, and it was a common practice in the early church. But why is it that we fast? Well, we fast for many reasons. We fast to seek God's face in the midst of a trial or a tribulation or a time of mourning. We fast in order to afflict ourselves, to show God that we're serious about seeking His face. We fast to get God's help, and like He said here in our text, that He will reward thee openly. We fast to show God we're serious, and we do it in secret. Our devotions are to Him in secret so that God will bless us. And as a church, we need to seek God's face for revival, and one of the ways we do it is through fasting. If you'll turn over a few pages to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14, Matthew 9, 14, you see the Bible says they came to him to the disciples of John saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." And the Lord's trying to teach them, the Pharisees and the disciples of John, they fast often, they fast regularly, they fast on a schedule, and everybody knows about it, and everybody sees what they do. And there was these Old Testament traditions, and Jesus saying, this is the new covenant, this is the new time, and fasting is going to be done, but it's going to be done in a new way, and it's going to be done in a new time. While I'm here, my disciples aren't mourning. My disciples are rejoicing. I'm walking with them, but one day I'm going to be taken up from them, and then they will fast. By the way, you'll notice Jesus said in Matthew 6, when ye fast. And when He says here in Matthew 9, the days will come when they shall fast. It's not a question for the Lord about whether or not we would fast. It's just a question or not of whether we're going to be obedient to it. I'll go ahead at this time and give you the disclaimer that I'm obligated to give, that some of you are diabetic, some of you have all different kind of health problems, and you ought to be careful about your fasting. But the reality is most of the people in our church don't take very good care of themselves about what they eat anyway, and probably not eating for a little while wouldn't be any worse for you than the things that you do eat when you eat. That statement was not approved by the Surgeon General. We fast privately, but we also should fast passionately. We're fasting because we're longing to see our bridegroom. Do you get it? Well, my disciples aren't fasting not because I'm right here. But one day I'm not going to be right here, and then they will fast. It tells us about some of the purpose behind our fasting. It's because we want to seek the face of God, because we want to be close to Him, because we want to walk with Him. We want to be closer to Him. And when we fast, we put away the fleshly things so that we can grow in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit and be closer to Him and walk in the Spirit. It's about being closer to Jesus. We need to fast purposefully. In Matthew chapter 17, you'll remember there was a man who came and he prayed to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes falleth into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't help him." And the Lord, He cast out the demon from the child. And the disciples later, they get Jesus alone and they say, "Why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we accomplish this?" And the Lord says that this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. You see, there's a purpose, and it's to get the power of God into our prayers. I'm just telling you that if you're chilling on the couch watching TV or playing on the internet or scrolling through Facebook and you're praying, it's not going to be nearly as powerful as if you put all of that away and you don't even eat and you get on your knees and you plead with God. Can you see that? We want to seek the face of God in our prayers and in our fasting. Just a quick review of some who fasted in the New Testament. Anna, a prophetess in Luke chapter 2. She was of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. And the Bible says in Luke 2:37, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And God blessed her with seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He blessed her immensely because of her devotion to God. And her devotion was expressed in her fasting and her prayers. In Acts chapter 10, we read about Cornelius, that Gentile who was a devout man following God the best he could according to the Old Testament way. And he said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Cornelius was a man of fasting and of prayer. And because of it, God sent Peter to take him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he got saved, and all of his family and friends got to hear the gospel. And many of them came to Christ. And God worked in his life in a great way because he was a man of fasting and prayer. In Acts chapter 13, we see the missionaries sent out from Acts chapter 13 there in Antioch. And it happened when they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, and they sent them away. Only after they had fasted and prayed did they lay their hands on them and send them away. Acts chapter 14 verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. I'm just trying to tell you that we see these examples of great men and women of God who were devoted to God, and their devotion was demonstrated through their fasting and prayer. I confess to you the other day, I'll confess to you again, I do not fast as often as I should. I confess to you the other day that I don't like fasting. I like eating. I fast more on accident than I do on purpose. But I'm here to tell you today that if we really want to see revival, prayer is absolutely essential. Revival will not come to our church without prayer. Revival will not come to this church without prayer. And our prayers will be greatly more effective when coupled with fasting. Before we do something a little different tonight, let me give you a couple of practical things. When you fast, you don't eat. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't drink water. I wouldn't recommend that you guzzle soda pop or you have your coffee or any of the other comforts that we enjoy, but you need water. You set a time. And some of you, I told you, maybe you just skip breakfast, or maybe you skip breakfast and lunch and you eat dinner. Maybe some of you are a little more experienced and you go a day, or you go 2 days, or you go 3 days without eating, but you drink water. I have friends in the ministry that have gone 7 days without eating. I've heard of others that I don't know personally that have gone 30 or 40 days without eating. They drink water only. I'm going to recommend to you that you don't jump into this and try to fast for a week without eating. I don't know that that's a very wise thing to do. You have to condition yourself to it. And let's face the facts, friends. We are different people in America in 2017 than the people were 2,000 years ago in the days of Christ. These people had given their lives to religious expression. We've given ourselves to physical consumption. And so we've got to learn. We've got to grow. We've got to develop ourselves. Some of you have never fasted before, and I would plead with you to pray about it and commit a time to God. Some of you have fasted many times before and for a long time, longer than I have ever dreamed of fasting. But I just plead with you that you would pray about this, you'd set it before the Lord, and whatever you can do, whatever your health conditions allow, whatever you determine in your heart and mind for the Lord, that you'd set aside a time for fasting and prayer. I don't know how some of you feel about all this. I know growing up in church, I never heard fasting taught on. To be quite frank with you, I heard fasting skipped over in Scripture. And I just don't want to do that. I want to be diligent to the Word of God. Whether it's something we're used to, whether it fits with our traditions, or our norms. I don't really care. I want to be biblical. Now, if you have a problem with what I've been preaching tonight and you have some biblical thing that you can bring to me, I'd appreciate that. I really would. But I just think it's important for us to set aside some of the things of this world and focus on the Lord. I want to ask you to pray with me, and then we're going to do something a little different tonight with our last little bit of time. Father, I pray that you'd help our church, this local body, this church. Lord, we belong to you. You've purchased us with your precious blood. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to seek your face for revival. Lord, that we would be serious about it. That we would gladly lay down the distractions of this world. Our television, our internet, even our food. And that we would esteem your word more than our necessary food. And that we would set aside a time this coming week. That we would set aside a time to fast and to pray. That even though we may have to go through the busyness of our day as we have left off eating, we would use that time to pray. We would dedicate that time to Bible study. Lord, that we would commit ourselves to praying for you. Lord, bless our prayer vigil this week. As men and women and children have dedicated themselves to dedicating a time of prayer, I pray that you would bless that greatly. That in that time we would draw closer to you. In that time you would hear our petitions, our supplications. And Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts this year, this fall revival, like we've never seen before. That you would change hearts, change marriages and families, and that you would allow us to see many come to Christ because of what you do over the next couple of weeks. Please fill Brother Steve Spires with your Holy Spirit. Give him power. Help him to preach exactly what you want him to preach. And Lord, may you get all the glory, honor, and praise. And may the effects of this revival season be seen for many, many years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take just a few minutes before you all, I let you go tonight. We've done this in the past, just I think once or twice. But I want to take just a minute to have a little prayer meeting with you, if that's okay. I think it'd be nice for us to not just talk about prayer, but to actually pray. And so I've got a prayer guide here. I've told you about acts of prayer. Acts stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so I want to just hear from you tonight. Adoration is the things that we praise God for who he is. We want to pray for him to be glorified in our life. We want to list some of the attributes of God that you want to praise him for the most. Now, this is more about who God is rather than what God has done. The attributes of God, the character of God. So you guys, this is open forum. You help me out. What are the attributes of God you'd like to praise him for tonight? Love and mercy. What's that? Long suffering. Amen to that. He is our creator. Forgiveness.
His provision.
He is our provider. Amen. He is holy, holy, holy. He accepts us. In Christ, we are all accepted. All-knowing, all-powerful, and we'll just throw in there all-present. Now that you're thinking about God, how great and awesome and powerful he is, I want you to think about confession. To confess literally means to say the same thing as. So when we confess, what we're doing is we are agreeing with God about the things that are not right in our lives, in our family, and in our church. So I want to ask you, and we don't need details tonight, but is there anything you'd like to confess before the Lord tonight?